We have made tonight, and we place the seal of heaven upon them, declaring them into visible manifestation. As I agree with your children by faith, that answer is delivered into our hands tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. Confirm your word and take your glory. Thank you, our Father. Jesus' unfailing name we are praying. I say congratulations, because your Father has just answered you. He has granted your desires. He has given you the assurance that he has answered you. If you believe he answered you, I think your amen will be more emphatic. Amen. Have your seat. We want to read from the Word of God. Matthew chapter 27, verse 32 to 37, and Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4 to 9. Matthew 27, verse 32 to 37, and Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4. Tonight, again, we shall rise on our feet as we read God's word. Now, as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name, whom they compelled to bear his cross. And when they had come to a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of skull, they gave him sour wine, mingled with gall, to drink. But when he tasted it, he would not drink. Then they crucified him and divided his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, They divided my garments among themselves. And for my clothing, they cast lots. Sitting down, they kept watch over there. And they put up over his head the accusation written against him. This is the King of the Jews. Isaiah 53, verse 4. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb slaughtered, and as his shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people, he was stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Father, speak to us tonight in a language we will understand. Let your word do us good. Let, O God, the very reason for which you have sent it be fulfilled in our lives. Do it and take the glory. Jesus' mighty name we are praying. The blessing of his bleeding, please be seated. I think the battery is gone. Where is Brother Ben? The blessing of his bleeding. Scripture is clear in Romans chapter 6, verse 23. That all have sinned short of God. By the singular act of our sin, we were doomed to die. Jesus Christ, who was sinless, in death, so we may take his place in life. So we may take his place in life. His bleeding on the cross brought great blessing to humanity. Now that we have received blessing as a result of his bleeding, what does it behoove us to do? Ladies and gentlemen, as we read in the book of Isaiah a while ago, we were people, or once people, who were accused, taken before the judge. The judge examined our case. The judge found us culpable. He passed a judgment of condemnation on us. While we were waiting and looking and say, is this how we are going to end it all? Jesus stood up and said, no, let me be the sacrificial lamb. Rather than destroy them, I offer myself to bear the brunt on their behalf. I offer myself to carry the weight of sin that they were guilty of. Someone has said somewhere that we owe a debt we could not pay. That was why Jesus came to pay the debt he did not owe. Without his bleeding, we all were doomed for eternal damnation. Not even one man was exempted. Jesus will have lost nothing if he didn't come to die, because there was no guilt in him. But then he will say to his Father, I knew what it took me at creation to bring them to live. I wouldn't want them to be destroyed that way. Let me offer myself as a fragrant sacrifice to pay this debt on their behalf. And when I do, look down on the sacrifice I made. And for the sake of that sacrifice, let the rain of your blessing fall on them. And we're told in scriptures that on that fateful day, they brought Jesus to the place of skull called Golgotha. And when they got there, I'm going to do exposition on that. I'm not going to emphasize that. I will do the exposition, a thorough exposition on that tomorrow by the grace of God, 9 a.m. But the point is, just for a moment, imagine. I don't know how many of us, if you want to try the experiment after the service today, get a little safety pin and ordinarily put it on your finger. I want to believe it's going to be very sweet as you are piercing it through your finger. I mean safety pin. How about 6 inches nail on a hot afternoon, about 3 p.m., that a grown-up man will be dragged and lied on a cross. They put this finger with a hefty hammer and put the 6 inches nail, and they started driving the nail into the hand. Ladies and gentlemen, if you imagine the pain you will feel with a mere touch of safety pin, imagine what 6 inches nail will be doing that hot afternoon in the hand of Jesus. They drove that one in while he screamed and groaned. No one cared about it. I can see blood dribbling out of that hand like a pump that was just burst, a pipe that just got burst, and you see the pressure with which the water will be coming out. That was how the blood was coming out out of the hand of the Savior. And they were smiling. Having driven that first nail into this palm, they laid the second palm and they brought another 6 inches nail. They drove that in again. You can imagine the groaning, the pain that he was going through. The Son of God, the one for whose sake Scripture says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Twice in Scriptures, the nails were driven into the second hand, and yet he remained silent, groaning in pain. And when they were done with that hand, they put the two legs together, ladies and gentlemen. Brought yet another nail, drove the nail through the first feet, pierced through into the second one. I don't know how you feel, about this fragrant pain and sacrifice that he had to pay. And when they were done, they lifted the cross up. That fateful afternoon, in the scorching sun of that afternoon, the Savior of the world was hung there for us, groaning in pain. They hurled insults on him. They brought a spear, speared him on the side. And the Bible says, blood started gushing out of the side. That was what Isaiah was telling us in chapter 53. Yet, he did all of this to buy our pardon, to give us hope of living again. His bleeding brought blessing to us. Without that bleeding, we were all like condemned criminals, doomed as firewood for hell. He came, he intervened on our behalf. Why or how has this bleeding become a blessing to us? Three things I'll submit, and then I'll be true. Number one, he shed his blood to reconcile man to God. When Adam and Eve sinned, they were driven out of the presence of God. We became hopeless by inheritance. The one, our forbearers, kept on transmitting the sin to us from one generation to another until the intervention of Jesus. He came to restore us to God by dying on the cross. Through his death, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 18 says, we have been reconciled back to God. We who were once alienated, separated, the kind of rapport, relationship, cordial relationship that hitherto existed between Adam and Eve was destroyed by the act of sin. Jesus came to reconcile us. Someone has said somewhere that the Son of God became the Son of Man so that the sons of men will become the sons of God. What a glorious manifestation. His blood was out to reconcile us to God. Number two, how has the bleeding become a blessing to us? Number two, he shed his blood to deliver us from the curses and spells which were the consequences of sin. God is too holy to behold sin. He says in the book of Isaiah, my ears are not deaf that I cannot hear you. My eyes are not blind that I cannot see you. I'm paraphrasing. But it is your sin that has separated you from me. And when you call, it seems not to be that there is any call from anywhere. It was the blood of Jesus that was shed on that day, that fateful day, that came to remove the curses and the spells, the doom that Satan the devil sent us into as a result of sin. By his bleeding, you are no longer permitted to be victim of generational curses or witchcraft spells. By the shedding of that blood, we were exempted from every negative pattern that follows people in our lineage. By the mystery of the blood of Jesus, a new name, a new tag was placed upon us by the shedding of that blood. No more guilt. What a glorious privilege. What a manifest blessing that is showed, or a manifold blessing that is showed by that act to us. Number three, he shed his blood to deliver us from the torment of the flame of hell. I was invited to preach last Saturday in a burial ceremony at Agalope. And I said that when we look at the gory picture of what hell depicts, everyone should do everything within his power to run away from it. My mentor preached 2 weeks ago and he said something which I can't forget. That in Nigeria, we are already in hell. How can we now be in hell already in Nigeria and pass through from one hell to another hell? I thought someone would say, God forbid. Because it is the highest height of hell that we are here by what is happening and what we see. Then you will go through all of this and then hell end up with the devil in hellfire again. In hell, even death will be looking for death to kill death, and death will tell death that I don't kill death again. I don't have the ability to kill again. Someone will say, I want to jump into fire, and the fire will bounce the person back. Say, I don't kill people again. People will be crying. Instead of this, make a kuku die, and death will say, I don't defeat kill person again. Scripture tells us that in worm in hell, they don't die. People who are inside a worm will be eating them, and yet they are not dying. Ladies and gentlemen, this was what Jesus came to deliver us from. Are you going to appropriate this bleeding in your life? Are you going to allow this fragrant suffering of the master to go in vain? Or you will appropriate it to live a life of sinlessness. A life that will make him to accept you into his kingdom when he comes. That should be our aspiration. Having shed his blood on the cross, it is now our responsibility to do three things. Number one, we should surrender absolutely to him. He gave up his life for us. He expects us to give our life to him. He held nothing back from us. He expects us not to hold anything back from him. Number two, he expects us to give him our best. Give God the best of your life, the best of your time, the best of your resources, the best of who you are, because he gave his best to us. God didn't look for the choicest animal to use as sacrifice for our redemption. He took his one and only begotten son that he cherished so much. He didn't sacrifice Angel Gabriel, not Angel Michael, his one and only begotten son. What is your response? What's my response? We must give him our best. Number three, expectation that the Lord will have of us is for us to live for him. He died for you to live for him. Jesus Christ, who is sinless, took our place in death, so we may take his place in life. Bow down your head and spend a few minutes to thank this Jesus who came to die in our place. He paid a price he didn't owe, because we owe a price we could not pay. We didn't even invite him to come and do it. He volunteered himself on his own volition to go through the pain for our redemption. Thank him on this auspicious day. Appreciate this God who did all of this. The Son of God was mocked. He left his glory in heaven to go through all the pain of earth simply because he wants to buy our pardon. Tell him thank you. I appreciate him. And as you do that, pray that he will grant you the grace to live for him. Ask the Lord to give you the grace to live for him. If Jesus did all of this for our sake, and we will not, or we couldn't appreciate it, and allow all of this sacrifice to go unrewarded without having anything to show to him that we are grateful, we'll be miserable when the end time comes. Ask God to grant you the grace to live for him. Ask him to grant you the grace to set aside every weight that easily entangles. That I and you, we may run the race that is set before us and end in his feet. End at his feet. That will be the ultimate gain that he will have, having paid all of the price for our redemption. You and I have no other thing to give to him but to live for him. And if we do, we receive reward ultimately when he comes in his kingdom. We are grateful, oh Lord, we are grateful, Lord. For you have done for us.
Hallelujah, we are grateful. Oh Lord, we are grateful, Lord. We are grateful. Oh,
shall we all rise on our feet? We are going to be taking our call to worship as we move on to the observance of the Holy Communion right away. Media, please, you will project that responsorial reading now. Not the hymn yet, please. The responsorial reading. It's going to be taken from Isaiah 55, verse 6 to 7, Psalm 24, verse 3 to 4, Psalm 51, verse 10 to 12. Media, are you with me? Thank you. When I read where you are the minister, you will read the next paragraph. Where you have the people. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. The person who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false, and does not make dishonest promises. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. He will save and have mercy upon him. Let him come again to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. We shall remain standing as we sing the hymn on our program. SS and S 115. Music director, please come and conduct this. SS&S 115. When I survey the wondrous cause.
Thank you.